The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Sky Podcast. We are your hosts. I'm Steven.
And Kyle.
And it's Monday Holocult, so you know what that means. We are here to stone cold stun your week into motion and help you guys get to the weekend. Kyle is bringing us back with part three and the final entry into his Cult of the Black Cube Saturnian journey, which has been a banger. I'm excited to get into this. It's crazy.
It's definitely crazy. It's going to be wild. Once again, I exited a lot of the information out because it is very in-depth and, frankly, scary.
He doesn't want you to accidentally summon Saturn. Is what he's trying to say.
Yeah. That's pretty much it.
Or purposely summon Saturn, for that matter.
That's also probably true.
But before we can accidentally summon an elder deity,
I don't know how stunning a primordial entity would go.
Not good.
I don't think it would be very good either.
Not good.
I feel like it would be the equivalent of us continuously trying to stun a brick wall.
Yeah, only the brick wall destroys creation.
Right, exactly.
But yeah. Before we can do this, before anyone can accidentally or on purposely summon Saturn, we've got to get through the business, right? The business. So check us out at all our socials: Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, TikTok, Discord, Reddit, wherever else. Search up the Hollow Sky Podcast. We will be there. Come join the community. Be part of the Hollow Cult. And help spread the word. If you have a paranormal encounter you would like for us to share on a future listener experience show, Kyle's got some details for you.
It's pretty easy. All you have to do is write out your story and shoot it over to the email, which is going to be hollowskypodcast@gmail.com. You can call or text the holophone, 618-556-0837. Same number we use for the night shift if you'd like to call in and express your concerns, have a conversation, add to a topic, tell us a weird story, whatever, you can. And those are on Wednesday nights. You can hook up with us and get your weird story out there. We greatly appreciate each and every submission.
If you'd like to support the show, we got some ways to do it. You can join us over on Patreon, where there is a backlog of extra episodes. You get ad-free episodes, our regular episodes early, future coupons to the store, stuff of that nature. You can go over there, check it out if that's something you want to do. We also have a store, as I mentioned previously, at hollowskypodcast.com. We got plenty of cool merch and hollow swag over there so you guys can rep the cult. The best thing you can do is share the show word of mouth. Just get it out there. It really helps out to spread the word. Grassroots forever. You can also go to wherever you catch your podcast and leave us a 5-star rating and review. If I find it, I will gladly shout you out. Today's 5-star rating and review comes to us from SilverCrow2K. SilverCrow says, enjoy the podcast, 5 stars. Appreciate the episodes and how you guys tackle each subject. My impression, there's more out there than we know, so we have to keep digging. That is absolutely correct, SilverCrow.
I'm in agreement with that statement.
Firm believer that we know minute, an iota of what is out there.
We're the weird Indiana Jones.
Technically. We are.
It's what we are.
The weird Legion of Doom.
Yeah.
So, thanks, Silver Crow, for the kind words. Now we're about to get into it. If you haven't listened to the first 2 installments of Kyle's dive into the Cult of the Black Cube and the god known as Saturn, you need to do it because it's weird. I also want to start the show, not to cut Kyle's grass or anything, I want to start the show out with some correspondence we've had. 2 completely separate correspondence from 2 completely separate people that have popped up this week on different platforms, I should add. We got a message on YouTube that says, what if this Saturn character isn't trying to get you to, but knows that a certain person listens to the show? Now that person is going to buy the book and turn the world upside down. And I thought, damn, that's weird.
Definitely weird.
And then we get a message or we get a comment on Spotify that says, as a Saturnian mage, I needed that grimoire. Found a copy for £89 after shipping to New York for the 3rd edition. Thanks for letting me know about the book. Kyle has inadvertently started the undoing of existence.
Well, I wouldn't go that far.
We will see.
I wouldn't go that far. It's definitely not my fault.
Well, I'll take responsibility. Then I have, by proxy, started the undoing of existence.
Well, I mean, that's going to be debated later on in life. I wouldn't put that weight on our shoulders just yet. I mean, yeah, the book is definitely dark and foreboding at best. And it wasn't even the direction that I intended on venturing. I just have heard throughout rumblings of the Black Cube and how the elites worship the Black Cube. And I was kind of looking for it more in the modern age. However, this is the avenue that I stumbled. And I do appreciate that avenue because it's always good to know the origins and where it came from, how it started, why they are using this particular deity, that type of thing. Because if you don't have that context before you dive into the elites are worshiping Saturn, well, then you're left with the well, why? You know what I mean? Like you don't comprehend why they're doing it. So I do appreciate, and this is the last episode of this book, and I will probably revisit the Black Cube later on in modern times and how it's being applied by the elites of the world today, so on and so forth. But for now, this is where we're at.
Yeah, whatever this entity is has to be powerful if the powerful here on Earth are devoting time and energy and intention to it.
Oh, for sure. For sure. But with that being said, we're going to start with a little bit more of the origins of Saturn. His father, and this is per the mythology of it, his father is Surya, S-U-R-Y-A, and he is a solar deity. Saturn's mother is Chaya, or the goddess of shadow. You have a nocturnal solar deity. And that is why, like, those two combinations are why Saturn is known as the Black Sun. He is that of a nocturnal solar deity. He is also the brother to the death god Yama. In old text, when he was born, his gaze which is to always be feared, fell upon his father, which caused an eclipse.
I got to interject here and say it is, the timing is very weird and bizarre that you managed to dive into this.
Yeah.
The black sun during an
eclipse,
total solar eclipse.
It's definitely weird. There are a few other oddities that we're going to stumble on later on in the episode that kind of link up with current time that I found interesting.
That is strange.
It's definitely strange. Definitely strange. A few descriptions of Saturn are rather interesting. Now, correct me if I'm wrong on some of these connections here. Lord Saturn is tall, black, long-limbed, and emaciated. He also has reddish-brown eyes, large teeth and nails, with a long beard and matted locks. Lord of the sinews and nerves of the west of Saturday and the constellations Capricorn and Aquarius, known as the Slow, son of Shadow, the Black, the Endless, the All-Devouring, the Steady, and the Controller, among many other names. But my question here, and this is beyond my knowledge, because I'm not good with these types of things, but if you recall, a lot of people say we are going into the age of Aquarius, which is interesting considering Saturn is the lord of the constellations Capricorn and Aquarius.
Let me go to the Googler here. 2024 will be a tumultuous time and a hopeful time. Aquarius also symbolizes people coming together and evolving into their next phase. I hope we're ready for a challenge put before us to wake up out of our three-dimensional ego-based stupor into the next phase of growth into beings of five-dimensional spiritual consciousness. All right.
I don't think we're ready for the fifth dimension quite yet.
No. But, 2024 seems to be a lot of Aquarius stuff.
Yeah. So, I don't know. But I it doesn't mean that it's going to be all doom and gloom, but it does. It is interesting that he's connected to the age of Aquarius in that regard. And a lot of people have been talking about how we are fast approaching the age of Aquarius, which is supposed to be that of enlightenment and great things for humanity. However, this is an interesting statement to me. Like I said, doesn't mean doom and gloom. I just figured I'd point that out. It's very interesting. In the next section, Arthur gives an interesting warning. It's in regards to searching out teachers and the occult. It's also worth noting the mention of respect for these deities, which is strange considering I talked about that at the end of our last night shift.
Yeah. Yeah, that is weird.
However, a similar warning, like we heard from the guy on TikTok that worked with demons, if you think you're going to work with these entities or even demons, and think that you can bully them into giving you power, you are out of your mind. I'm going to quote this because it's pretty well written. The pig who is fed by the farmer probably feels empowered, but the pig will never become the farmer, even though it might eat the scraps that come from the farmer's table. And I feel like that's a pretty decent analogy,
yeah,
for people that dabble,
yeah,
into some of those lanes.
That is a good one.
Furthermore, if you acquire favors or power from a spirit and the bill isn't paid upon death, then the payment will be taken in the form of consumption. You will be consumed upon your death as payment.
Which
essentially foot the bill for the shit that you got that you didn't make good on.
Is strange considering that Dr. Moros apparently died in a mysterious way. It makes you wonder if he made good before he passed.
Oh, for sure. Because like you said, he passed from mysterious circumstances. And that's one thing that I wish the book would have elaborated more on were his personal experiences in dealing with said deity. And was it too much of a bill in the end? Or did it, was he unable to mitigate Saturn's gaze essentially? And he fell victim to what he essentially promised himself to.
That's a frightening thought.
To
not be able to pay the piper, so to speak.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Like Arthur even says, spirits and gods are not projections or egregories. By assuming they are, you may very well be falling into this trap. So basically, don't write a check you can't cash.
Yeah, one thing I will give him just from hearing you talk about Dr. Moros and the grimoire itself, he puts tons and tons and tons of warnings.
Oh yeah,
in this thing. So if you go into this and you surpass and you do make contact, that you only have one person to blame.
Oh yeah, that shit is on you 100%. He cannot express enough. Like before you make this decision, you need to think on it long and hard, because it's almost like once you go down that road, you can't go back. There's no turnaround. But it's interesting to sit and read Arthur's work. He talks so matter of fact about it all, kind of like the TikTok guy did, explaining how it's up to you to choose the right spiritual path for yourself. An odd suggestion for a book of this nature, in my opinion, saying that if you're looking for a path of a deeper connection to the supreme being, you may want to try Sufism or Bhakti Yoga, which is it's interesting that it reminds me so much of the guy from TikTok, how he was not forceful in his depictions of the path that he's chosen. He's like, you need to pick what works best for you.
Yeah.
Even if it is working with angels or it's working this or doing yoga. It's very interesting how these people, because you would think that like the overselling Satanist would be like, no, it's my path or no path at all. It is the way that it is. They're just so controlling of the, because they want you to be a part of their narrative. Whereas these people, who I do find far more convincing and far more honest, they 100% suggest finding your path, not my path, your path. Do your thing.
Yeah, it's almost like it has to be completely consensual.
Yeah, you know, I think there's a lot to that.
The decisions have to be yours. The guys like Dr. Moros and the demon practitioner from TikTok were adamant about just putting information out here. This is how I work with who I work with. This is what you need to do to work with said entity. You need to find an entity you connect with and then do this and then do B and then do C.
Right.
Not hey, come on, let's jump into this. It's you need to find your own path, but I can give you tools to help you discover that. And he said, whether it be a religion, whether it be working with angels, whether it be working with demons, whether it be working with entities, like you have to find your own path and you have to ease yourself into it. So like Kyle stated, it's almost welcoming. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. It's weird.
I think it's just so honest that it, like, when people approach you in that nature, I think it lowers your guard because it's not what you expect. You expect a more forceful take on it where it's easier for you to negate it. Just be like, no, you're insane. I'm walking this way. But when they speak to you so cautiously and just so openly, and they're just they let you make your decision, I think it lowers your guard and it just makes you more vulnerable.
Yeah, and it's more easily digestible when they put it to the point to where essentially you're in control.
Yes.
You're in control of what path you choose. You're in control of who you work with. You're in control of this and in control of that. Where almost like how Dr. Morrow says, if you go into it thinking that as a whole, you're the one in control, that's where the trap snaps.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you may be in control of the path you choose, but once you dedicate yourself to that path, whatever's at the end of that path is the one in control.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And to further all of these points, Arthur says, you know, you need to do your research into what you're contemplating. Like, to join certain currents, as he puts, does this current require blood sacrifice or animal sacrifice? In some cultures, that's extremely normal. However, that may not be you. You may not be into that stuff. So therefore, you should walk away from those currents and not be a part of them. Also, dealing with spirits, as we all have had the same idea of it, but Arthur states it, and I will just say it again for everybody. When dealing with entities, they may claim to be benevolent and auspicious, but may not be. Arthur's like, it's almost better in a sense if the entity you call upon says, listen, I'm an asshole. I'm malevolent as fuck. This is who I am. Rather than the spirit claim benevolence and you pledge yourself to that spirit, serve it, only to find out it was literally for nothing.
Yeah, and then you're being consumed for eternity.
Right. Arthur notes when spreading myths or anything, factors of the story change as it travels. But what's interesting about Saturn is that among the cultures and time, details are the same. And for him, this proves that Saturn is real and has made contact with all of these different cultures. Some of the things that have been written about Saturn that span across tons of cultures are things like chaos, dark colors, cold nature, chains, connections to Saturday, a gaze that will cause harm. Even J.R.R. Tolkien wrote about Saturn. Morgoth and Sauron in the Lord of the Rings saga are apparently about Saturn. Because Saturn, in some of the depictions, has a missing or injured foot. Well, Morgoth ends up hurting his leg and walks with a limp. And as we all know, Sauron has its gaze. I like this breakdown Arthur writes. So it's a way to describe the things we read in mythology or sacred traditions. He uses the example of the sun, where we would call it sunrise and sunset. However, scientifically, this is not accurate. It's just a way for us to rationalize and make sense of it by thinking of it like a sunrise and a sunset. So throughout these old teachings, you find that there are three patterns which Saturnian deity manifests within human consciousness. The human manifestation. Saturn will appear as a grim old man robed in black, crippled and stern, usually bearing a sickle or sword, which, as we talked about in the last episode, is a depiction of the Grim Reaper. You also have the planetary manifestation, a cold, dry, and shadowy planet. The third is the most known form, which is the black cube, stone, or obelisk. I think the majority of people have seen reference or seen the black cube. I think that is probably the most prominent image for Saturn. I didn't necessarily know. I mean, I knew slightly that it was connected to Saturn, but I didn't know that it was like it's embedded in Saturn.
It is. It theology. On a side note here, speaking of the black cube, I'm always creeping around on Reddit, right, and looking up people who mention the show. And this past week, we got a mention on a thread in a rock forum, and someone had dug up a black cube in their backyard.
That's weird.
It's strange.
It's super weird. But Arthur says that these depictions were never meant to be interpreted literally because the ancients never believed him to actually be one of these descriptions. David Beth writes about how these symbols are manifested. And I quote directly from the book here because I just feel like it's justification to use this man's words. The world of symbols is the world of night consciousness. Against popular opinion, we believe that myths are born from symbols. The true symbol itself is a revelation of an enthusing power, such as a spirit, a demonic essence, and never only a metaphor. The benighted communes with the powers of the living all, and the encounter, the mating of passive soul, the initiate, poet, visionary, with the active demonic souls or essences triggers the manifestation of a true symbol. When symbols are glyphs of ecstatic encounters, they form part of a language that communicates realities which can never be approached through conceptual language. Real symbols always impact magically and thus have the power to reawaken the facility of ecstatic esoteric vision. For the rare aristocrats of the soul, they become doorways into the living demonic cosmos. It's interesting because all of these cultures, they believe Saturn to be a real entity, and they didn't seem to worship him like people today worship God. They did so to actually mitigate the greater and lesser trauma that afflicts nations, gods, and mortals alike. So dealing with Saturn is like having a time bomb in your hand. And if you were to wrap your hand around it, it's going to blow your hand off. Or if you open it, it's going to do less damage. Like it's almost like they acknowledge like he's here. There's nothing we can do. We should just try to mitigate these results as much as possible.
Which that sucks.
Well, yeah.
That definitely not having an alternate way out is not good. You're just trying to, like you said, mitigate damage.
Yeah, but I mean, and I also to a degree disagree with that sentiment because of other things that are written in the book, like how Saturn's not actually here on our plane. He's disruptive at times, which we'll get into a little bit later. But in the realm of greater cosmology, these cultures knew that Saturn wasn't an independent figure. As stated in the first episode, Saturn was of a greater tradition, that of chaos. In mythology, before cosmos became a being, there was something else. Chaos, which appears in many cultures like Indo-European, Sumerian, Afro-Semitic cultures of the Bronze and Iron Age. Apparently, it's in the Bible as well, from Genesis, where it's described as darkness and water, and Jehovah brings light and shape. Chaos is impossible to describe because we have no frame of reference to even begin how to understand it. Chaos even predates the separation of existence from non-existence, but it's often described in ancient texts as an ocean of darkness. It spawned cosmos and the other primordial entities, Saturn being one of those primordial entities. Most of these primordial beings were described as enormous creatures, not being human or even humanoid in their appearance. Chaos is the darkness and cosmos is the light, which once again, right there, we have the light and the dark. Everything that you research always has these two factions to it.
Isn't it wild that for eons, people, cultures, humanity as a whole have been trying to figure out what came before
yeah.
creation. And the only thing that they can come up with is the idea of chaos. What be it an entity, be it nothingness, be it blackness of water. Like it is just dug itself into the minds of man since man started like cognitive thinking.
Right.
Like what came before? And still to this day, like we still don't have a definitive answer.
Exactly. Exactly. And it's just, it's even crazy, like you were saying, how a lot of them describe it the same. It's all chaos.
From chaos comes creation.
Yeah, it's crazy. And Arthur says that chaos's true shape is undescribable to us. Like, there's literally not words in our vocabulary that has the ability to do it. Some may take on humanoid shapes to deal with mankind, which Saturn apparently will at times too. And I feel like you have to assume that for all deities, like their true form, we can't even conceptualize, but they have the ability to make it easier for us to comprehend and understand. Because I don't know that we would accept, even if it was just a black cube, a solid black cube on your table talking to you, would fracture your fucking brain.
Yeah.
Right? We would be way more able to process a being, even if it's a shadow being, standing there in your doorway having a conversation with you, aside from a black cube floating in the doorway.
Yeah, there is some humanity to humanoids.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is...
Even if it lacks humanity at
yeah,
all.
Yeah, yeah. It just makes it easier for us to consume, for us to take in. And I've said that for a long time, that I got this running theory. I don't know if I subscribe to it fully, but I think a lot of things that we see as paranormal are just entities from other realms, but it's how we perceive them. Like they Bigfoot might not look anything like a giant bipedal hairy ape running through the woods, but it's just the best that we could come up with in our psyche to be able to make it more palatable in our brains. Where if it's some unimaginable entity from realms we don't know, we'd look at it and we would just, you know, lose all cognitive functions, you know, just can't even process it. But we see a Bigfoot, we're like, oh, hey, that's fucking weird. Let me get out my phone and take a picture.
Oh, I agree. And it's a scary thought to think that whether it be our brains, the process from the light, from our eyes to the brain, whatever it is, the fact, even if it's just our consciousness, mitigate, like if that's real and if our consciousness will mitigate a being's true form for us, is a terrifying thought.
It's almost like the uncanny valley. Like our brains know we cannot handle it. Like it is, there have been centuries of people that have dealt with these, and the results are so terrible that deep in our DNA, we have evolved to the point to where, like, we make them better. We make them to where we can take them in, which is terrifying.
Yeah. I agree. I agree. But other depictions of Saturn have him chained, restrained, or even maimed, which would suggest that he has limited movement. All the spells that are used to address him have two things in common. He can be called, and he cannot manifest without being called.
Hey, Holocult. The weather's getting nice, and you know what that means. It's cryptid hunting season. And the first rule to cryptid hunting is good footwear. That's why we're excited to announce our partnership with Tecovas Boots. When you're out hunting the Dogman or stalking Chupacabra, you don't have time to break in boots. That's why Tecovas is so nice. They have first wear comfort. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with their styles when you're out hunting cryptids.
And let me tell you, their styles are on point. I've always considered getting me a pair of snakeskin boots, and their pair is mint. They also have crocodile boots, caiman boots, ostrich boots, regular leather boots. They have it all, and it's ridiculously awesome. You can even stop by the local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. So just imagine yourself getting a pair of legitimate snakeskin Hollow Sky branded boots. How awesome would that be?
Nothing is going to intimidate a dog man like a nice pair of gator skin boots. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots as well as free returns and exchanges and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
So with that, and his name, meaning the alien or the furthest away, suggests to Arthur that he isn't actually here. But he can come here when he's summoned. Other deities are essentially here on our plane, but Saturn is not. And they think that the black cube is a representation of where he is, trapped and king within the spiritual dimension. Interesting enough, someone wrote, "The new world order is born, and now justice returns, Saturn's reign restored." I find it very interesting that they use the phrase new world order with how much we see it in today's conspiratorial lanes. Furthermore, if it's true that the elite still worship Saturn, I find it a very interesting compilation of words.
That is strange.
So actively, it's theorized that people may actually be attempting to free the imprisoned Lord. And that's what, which could directly be a correlation to the reference New World Order. Interestingly enough, though, Arthur explains how these gods do not reign uncontested. They too have to face the monsters of the spirit realm, which is very interesting wording there. I almost wish I could talk to Arthur more about that statement. They monsters. Too have to face the monsters of the spirit realm.
Yeah, what is that? If you're talking about, like, if you're working with this unfathomable deity known as Saturn, and then
he could pretty much fuck every other celestial power.
Yeah, it controls even dabbling in. A person dabbling in the power of Saturn can not only change and control the fate of other people, but other entire cultures. To say that whatever this being has to answer to things in the spiritual realm, and he chooses the word monsters, is terrifying.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
Answer to the monsters of the spirit realm.
And Arthur kind of depicts, like he says, a lot of them are looking for sovereignty, and a lot of these gods and deities are territorial. Like, they will fight if new religions, even cultures, begin to take hold in their domain. They will fight those forces at all costs, which is kind of crazy. Like, when we talk about how knowledge is essentially power for the gods, like the acknowledgement, like how many people pray and worship Jesus Christ. And that essentially could be a power source for Jesus Christ. Whereas back in the day, it used to be Ares and Zeus and so on and so forth. But those tend to wash out over time. Less and less people commit to them.
And I mean, it's just like you said, newer cultures and religions just absorb the old ones. So it is, it's almost, it's a power struggle here almost it is in the realm of
right.
the deities.
Right. I don't know. All of it, like, it, and I know for some people this might not slap too hard, but for guys like me and Steve who are big into mythology, it's right up our alley. Like, it's fun learning about all this stuff. But it's crazy because from here, Arthur starts to go into the path of Saturnian. And it's just guarded with warnings. But this is an interesting phrasing to me, and me and Steve talked about it earlier, but he says, if you intentionally attract him and do not have the proper offerings, you're essentially up shit creek. Also, if you choose his path, you are declaring war on the powers that have imprisoned him, a deliberate rejection of the ruling cosmic order. But I find it interesting that he uses the phrasing, if you intentionally attract him and do not have proper offerings, he's going to fuck you up, which means that you can unintentionally attract him and will not have to pay the toll, so to speak. Which, like Steve pointed out off air, it's kind of what Arthur did. And yeah. Maybe that's why he didn't have to pay the toll.
Yep. He had, it was essentially a failed ritual, but putting it out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of like, hey, Saturn was probably sitting on the sidelines and sees Arthur reaching out for something, for help, essentially.
Yeah.
Help from any god that will listen. And Saturn's like, you didn't ring the right doorbell to get to who you need to talk to, but
yeah,
you were a block over. You and rang
actually,
mine.
Actually, I didn't even think about it like that, and we'll get to it probably here in a minute, but that does come into play in just a minute now that you word it in that context. But it's also interesting not to overlook the fact that if you side with Saturn, you are declaring war on all the powers that have imprisoned him, which is the current ruling cosmic order. Very, very fucking interesting statement there. But it's crazy because even with all the warnings that are in this book that have been written throughout time, there are people still to this day that worship him. Apparently in India and Haiti, they still actively worship him. Some believe that the Roman cult of Saturn has survived. It's even linked to many ritual murders, government conspiracies, even alien abductions. You have two recent lodges that get named in the book, the Brotherhood of Saturn and the Order of Nine Angels. So they are actively continuing on today. And Arthur kind of elaborates on how Saturn revolt will not be of brute force, but of subtlety and cunning. It will be carried out by the spiritual planes as well as the corridors of power. And he describes, this is kind of fucking terrifying in its own right, a current kingdom of Saturn, which has existed during our history, like the Aztecs and pre-Republic Rome. But a current kingdom might look like a powerful state where there are cameras in every room, watchers on every street. People have gladly surrendered their civil liberties and dignity in exchange for safety and security. On the other hand, it could also manifest on the opposite and have a dissolution of the civil powers and a return to a more or less tribal living. But I find that first description terrifying.
Yeah,
because he almost describes current times.
Yeah, it's right now, and if not for safety purposes, it's for convenience purposes.
Absolutely,
we've just kind of.
I think we allow the two hand in hand, though.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Or interchangeable, like you just kind of plug and play, so to speak.
Yep. Yep.
Whatever we need to justify this, you know, said action.
Yep.
But when one chooses the Saturnian path, you will apparently gain insights that many could use and would use. As an example, you may suddenly see things clearly, spiritual energies and entities. Your instincts will become sharper. You can deal with your peers better by seeing their hidden agendas. Unspoken conversations are now heard and understood. The acolyte becomes aware of harmful energies, mundane and supernatural. Your esoteric skills will improve. You will also have some degree of good fortune, and more importantly, being able to mitigate the bad fortune. But the cost, since the Black Gnosis is so heavy, you will now carry it and will face sorrow, depression, resentment, even suspicion. So you might be successful at work, but all of your friends will begin to look suspect to you. You'll just altogether ruin that friendship because of suspicions. The little flaws in your romantic partner are now inescapable. Old injuries begin to flare up. Fatigue can also be a big problem. Some of these, because it sounds like a pound of flesh, essentially. It's tit for tat. But Arthur claims that some of these effects, which we talked about it earlier, it's not about Saturn being a god of fortune for you. It's about mitigation with Saturn. And so Arthur says a lot of these effects can be toned down through devotion to Saturn. That's how you mitigate it. Same goes to working with Saturnian magic. And a good example of what could happen here by Arthur. So say someone approaches you. Hey, Steve, I got a really good business deal for you. But I need money to get this deal off the ground. You're like, cool. I'm going to get you some money. So you go to pray to Mercury. And you're like, Mercury, I need some money, dude. This guy's got a good business deal. And let's say Mercury usually comes through for you, but this time he fails. So at a pure desperation, you're like, all right, fuck it. I'm calling on the big guy. Yo, Saturn, Kyle's got a deal for me. I need some cash, dude. And Saturn accepts deal. But it comes at a cost. So the money you needed, you get. But not in the way that you wanted or intended. You actually find out that a family member has died and you're now able to claim their inheritance. So there is a very up and down, because it's stated, which is what I was going to come back to, that Saturn, he's almost like the catch-all deal maker. He will take essentially any deal. If other gods fuck you on it or fall short on it, Saturn will come through. But you got to know. You got to remember. It comes at a cost.
Yeah.
There is payment for that.
And that falls directly in line with what old TikTok dude was saying. Like, if you're working with this entity for monetary prosperity, he said, you're not going to wake up one day and find a box of money at the foot of your bed. He said, it doesn't work like that.
Right.
He said, you have to devote your time and your energy to not only like essentially worshiping and paying tribute to whatever this deity is. He said, but it comes at a cost, because the way that this works, it will present itself an opportunity to you. You have to take that opportunity. He said, and then you have to work 110% toward it. If you have to cut out relationships in your life to get better at this job to make more money, he said, that's how that's going to work. He said, you have to devote yourself not only to the deity, but to the opportunities it puts forward for you, or else it's not going to work that way.
Right.
He said, if you think you can just give it 50% toward this opportunity, he said, it's not going to work. He said, that's not what devotion is. You have to put yourself 110% forward.
Well, that's not the making of a good deal either. Like, it's not having a good partner in the deal. You're like, yo, dog, like, I got all these opportunities for you. And you're like, eh.
Yeah.
Eh.
Yeah.
I'll
get to it when I get to it.
I'll do this and I'll do that.
When you first said it.
I ain't going to do that, though.
Yeah. When you first said it, I thought you meant, like, the opposite of that. Like, putting the opportunities for it isn't part of the good deal. I'm like, well, I mean.
No. No, because you're right. Like, you're not just going to magically spawn money on the table. Because if that's the way that it worked, everybody would fucking do it.
Yeah,
you know that they would, but the fact that it's allowing more opportunities to be presented to you, and you're just gonna be like, I mean, I know that like we agreed on $1 million, bro. Like, why I gotta wash dishes?
Yeah, why do I gotta work for it?
Yeah, I'm not trying to wash dishes.
And TikTok guy said he's like, you have to understand what you're dealing with, too. He says a lot of these are tricksters. A lot of these are pranksters. A lot of them will throw things in the way to thwart you keeping up your end of the bargain. He said when he was working with some demonic entity, for lack of a better term, he said, I forget what he was doing, but he was grinding nonstop. And he said out of nowhere, this, like, he said it was the gal of his dreams popped into his life. He said if he could build a romantic partner, it would be this woman. And it said she demanded every second of his time. And at first he thought it was super, super cool. Like,
oh yeah,
you know. But then as he saw that, like, it was almost she was actively pulling him away from
What he needed to do. Yeah, his side of the bargain.
Yeah, and he said that happens fairly consistently. And you have to be aware of those things.
Yeah, because then you got to pay interest, bitch.
Yeah, you already made the deal.
Yeah, you got to pay interest if you come shy.
That's what he said when he was working with those two goofs, the island boys, when they just went in. They're like, yeah, let's do it. And then they didn't keep up their end of the bargain. Yep. And then shit just started going super south.
Right.
Once you've already made the deal, there ain't no person on the planet that's going to break it.
You're you ain't backing out.
No, you don't get to go back and say, hey, TikTok guy, you remember when you helped me make the deal with such and such?
Yeah.
We're gonna need that reversed here.
I don't know. But from that, moving forward, you have the blood sacrifice aspect of all of this, which stems to all types of different religions and areas of time. In modern age, apparently they have gone to the lengths of even removing these texts from these types of lessons in them. Some occultists claim that it is more symbolic than anything, which Arthur essentially dismisses as bullshit. Like, no. Some of these deities are 100% blood deities. They want sacrifice of blood. Simple. End of story. This is not a symbolic wording here. This is legitimate. A side note here, it's a little interesting and terrifying to consider, but because we've gone over sacrifices before of humans, animals alike, it's even theorized that the weekly Christian communion or Eucharist could be a Romanized sacrificial rite from the Saturn cult.
It's weird.
Which is... And like I said, theorized, probably highly debated, obviously highly debated, but it does drive home a point for me and for listeners and for Arthur's warnings. You should be aware of what you follow, the origins of that. Like, I kind of brought it up in dealing with even just runes. Like, I don't know the origins of the rune that says that this is for protection. How do I know that that's of protection? And I'm not trying to get into a big debate about runes and what they mean. It's just an example. I find it interesting and scary that there are modernized versions of these old school cults, just like how we talked about in the last episode that the Romans essentially built the fucking Colosseum and had gladiator fights as a way of mitigating the human sacrifice issue because it all of a sudden became taboo.
And it just further reaches into the idea that not only do these deities essentially vie for power over humanity, but also that new religions just consume old ones.
Yeah.
You know, like if you look into Saturnalia, which is basically the worshiping of Saturn, like a lot of people think that it was absorbed by Christianity because it takes place during the winter solstice, which is in later December, which what else happens in later December?
Go Christmas.
So it's I mean, it's almost like there's not almost a non-argument there that newer religions consume the old ones.
It's weird.
Because if you think about it, you already have a whole bunch of people devoting their time and their thoughts and their interests into this specific point in time. Why not? Especially if you're the new up-and-comer, the big power. Why not come in there and be like, nah, this isn't Saturnalia anymore. This is Christmas.
Right.
So people are like, oh, all right. Okay, we'll go with that.
Which kind of brings me back to my beginning statements, not of this episode or anything, but of just our journey in the end. That's why I find it important that you, and you hear Arthur talk about it. You hear Demon Guy from TikTok. You must choose your own path. You follow what's right for you. I think that just drives it home, because we all know that man has a forever ability of manipulation, and that's why a lot of people who are spiritual don't necessarily 100% confide in the Bible or written verbiage of these religions and what you should and shouldn't do, because they are written by man. Man will always manipulate these things to benefit himself.
100%.
So that's why I think it's extremely important to do as much research as you can, but you also have to learn to read between the lines. And I just think that's, I don't think it can be teed off on enough. I don't think enough people push that out into the world. And it's fucking crazy to me that I'm reading a Saturnian cult book and that's the message that gets pushed forward. That's fucking crazy to me. It is fucking asinine to me. And it should be to each and every one of you. That these people who work with these fucking deities and demons and shit, they're the ones that push that message of, you know, you decide what's best for you. To me, that's fucking crazy. Absolutely crazy.
What's up is down and what's down is up.
It's crazy.
Right is wrong and what's wrong is right. Now people are going to comment and be sad about it.
And that's fine, because if you want to misconstrue my words, then you do that. I'm not going to argue with you people anymore about the shit, because I know what I mean and I know most of you know what I mean. These are observations. They're not, we're not stating facts or our fucking opinions. It's just observations is all we're making here. If you want to put those there, you want to fill in the blanks in my mouth, then you fucking have at it. I don't care.
Get bent, nerds.
That's literally it. Anyways, throughout recorded history, there apparently hasn't been any documented account of a cult without sacrifice. In India, they kind of get around it, so to speak. They will offer some of their blood mixed with wine. But a lot of occultists warn this will actually impact the power of the magic, which kind of makes sense. You put less blood in there, yeah, less powerful the spell is going to be.
It's washed down, the wish version of your ritual.
Yeah. Connecting with Saturn is again and again and again a warning from Arthur. But it tells you how to create an altar and what to use. It does suggest that the altar be hidden in plain sight or hidden altogether, which is, you know, it fits to Saturn being he's of hidden, forbidden knowledge and those types of things. So it is fitting. Other things you can use with the idol are like oil, incense, candles, offering bowl, chains, cutting tool, a black mirror. You can give it offerings, and if you choose, you can actually take those offerings and say, bake them into a cake and give it to someone who has suffered ill fortune, which I find mind-blowing because it made me ponder the thought, like, how many people out there actually do this shit? Like, what if your neighbor sees that you've been down on your luck and they're like, you know what? I'm going to take a little bit of oil from this bowl of Saturn. I'm going to put it in this cake and I'm going to give it to Steve because Steve has been having a real fucking bad week and he needs some good fortune in his life. I will guarantee there are more people out there that are like that than we are comfortable admitting.
Oh, dude. And
it doesn't, I'm not saying particularly Saturn. It could be any deity out there.
Yes. On that note, it also goes the opposite direction. Stephen Kyle having a good run. Let me take some of these things and put them in a little cake here and see if we can't knock them down a notch. Because we were warned a couple years ago.
I remember.
Not to accept gifts, especially consumable items, from people in the ether, because there were specific people or entities out for us, I should say. That's all I'm going to say on it, because we agreed. I know we've talked about it before, but we're not going to get into details because we agreed with the person who gave us the warning. We will not talk about it, but that we are just not to accept such, because there is a lot of negative energy that was being sent our direction.
It's weird,
man. And we feel it.
It's weird. I don't know. It's just a mind-blowing thought that is a fucking reality.
It's crazy that you and I have enough effect on people's lives that they want to put their energy and intention into making our lives worse.
That does suck.
That's fucking crazy to me.
That sucks.
Get a hobby, first off. Yeah. Second off.
And a job.
And just listen to a different show.
Oh, I agree.
You don't need to be big mad. You don't need to bake us a fucking sadness fucking cake and send it to us.
It's weird to think that could be a reality.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyways.
It made me think about it when we were talking about it. Like, if you can send good, you can definitely send the bad. And we've been warned about eating the bad.
Yeah, absolutely. We have. That's a reality. And that is weird. A weird connection there. But when you're trying to connect with Saturn, you will most likely begin to have dreams about or even have visions of Saturn. You can also have dreams of symbols, vivid colors, objects, animals associated with Saturn, or even about places and characters associated with Saturnian current. Your state of mind will alter at some point. If you're normally a positive person, you may begin to become more cynical and depressed within a short period of time. But it's described as the bad before the good. It's bizarre to hear all of the hidden little things that people do with these deities, like wear chains or give charity in his name. And if you give charity in Saturn's name, it's a requirement that you do it in as anonymous as possible.
That's strange.
It is. But think about that. Think about how many charitable donations out there that are linked to deities.
Yeah.
There's also explanations in this book about how to initiate yourself with Saturn all the way to the rite of chains, which is to give your soul and attach yourself forever to this deity, also promising all future selves to this being. So if you give yourself to Saturn, you give yourself now and every reincarnation, every future version of yourself,
that
will be psychically chained to Saturn.
That sounds terrible.
Yeah.
We should note this. What animal does Saturn represent? Saturn. Elephants, cuckoos, and crows. Crows are believed to be connected with both the gods and goddesses, particularly the controversial ones such as Sani, the god of the planet Saturn, who uses a crow as his vehicle.
I thought you were going to say a rabbit. If you were going to say a rabbit, we are fucked. Because I see rabbits a lot in my yard, and we just
saw one.
I was waiting for you to be like, rabbit.
Saturn, black animals and those living in holes in the ground. Oxen, goats, horses, sheep, sables, weasels, cat, mouse, black snakes, scorpions, other poisonous insects and beetles, birds, ravens, swallows, and flies.
I don't know. That would kind of, I don't know. The book has been weird. It legitimately does have incantations and ingredients and everything you need to do to perform these rituals, which I am not partaking in.
Dude, you just read me the warning for the Rite of Chains. I almost want you to read it just so people know like how serious Arthur is about the warnings. There's probably just as many warnings in this book as there are not.
They're like everything is kind of prefaced with a warning. It's fucking crazy.
Wild.
And respectfully so. Like I'm glad that
it's almost like he's doing his best to steer people from it. Like it's almost like he's in a pact with Saturn to put the knowledge out there to bring more people to Saturn. But he's like, so this is what you need to do. But
if you're not vibing it, don't do it.
Let me write this little, he's like, Saturn, let me write this little introduction first, this page introduction before we get into the Rite of Chains. And it just basically says, don't do this.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think you hit it on the head, man. I think those warnings, they're extremely important because it has to be, like you said earlier, 100% consensual. It has to be, the deal has to be understood fully on both sides of the coin for an interlock.
Which makes me wonder about our friend, the Saturnian mage, who said, I needed this book.
But did you, though?
He said he did.
Well, I mean,
if you go to Saturn and are deciding to thrust existence back into chaos, remember who put you onto the book. So maybe we can sit outside the chaos.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's about all I got on her. That'll be the end of the book, but the beginning to later on, maybe chasing down some of the modern versions of it.
It has opened a very strange realm here in the Hollow Lair. When me and Kyle were getting together and talking about it, looking up stuff, it has... We stumbled down some weird paths.
Oh, absolutely.
I should say. Again, excellent series. Excellent series. It was awesome. I hope everybody enjoyed it. Check us out at all our social medias. Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, Twitter, Discord, Reddit. You know the drill. Hope everybody has a good, safe weekend. On that note, thanks for kicking it with us. Stay safe, stay weird, and I didn't really have a little catchphrase at the end here, so I'm going to read something. I'm going to quote a person who reviewed this book, and they started it out like this. To begin at the beginning of any book is a risk. Perhaps we are taught to assume otherwise, because it makes it easier to perceive things in a straight line, beginning, middle, end. Text sandwiched safely between two covers. But in some libraries, older books were or are chained in place to protect them from theft or to prevent them from escaping.